I still can't do it. What's going on, you guys? Welcome to The Camera Adds 10 Pounds. I'm your host, Peter Sirs. What's up? Before we start, I got to let you guys know, as always, this podcast is brought to you by my good friends at PerfectShaker.com. Look at it. It's the perfect shaker. It's got the little rod in there. It's got the little mixer in there. Perfect Shaker has all of your fitness accessory needs. So if you're a fitness lover like me, or you have a fitness lover in your life like me, do yourselves a favor, go to PerfectShaker.com, enter the promo code 10 pounds, the word 10, the word pounds, you will save 15% off of your order. They have meal prep bags, meal prep containers, pill containers, workout towels, wrist straps. They have all kinds of stuff for the fitness lover in your life. So do yourself a favor, like I said, check out PerfectShaker.com, enter promo code 10 pounds, you'll save 15%. Tell them Peter sent you. And as always, this podcast is brought to you by my good friends at Bucked Up Supplements. Bucked Up Supplements from Salt Lake City, Utah. They have every supplement that you need to get to whatever your fitness goals might be. If you're looking to lose weight, they've got stuff for that. If you're looking to gain muscle, like I've done over the last 3 months, I've gained 10 pounds of muscle, you guys. I know. They have stuff for that. If you want to do endurance events like me, they have stuff for that. They have everything: protein powder, pre-workout, post-workout, intra-workout. They have natural testosterone boosters, creatine, glutamine, amino acids. They have everything. So do yourselves a favor. Like I said, if you want supplements, that's all I take, Bucked Up Supplements. Go to buckedup.com, enter the promo code 10 pounds, the number 10, the word pounds. You will save 20% off of your order. All right, guys, let's go. Let's just do this. Happy April. April showers bring May flowers, they say. It hasn't rained yet, knock on wood, but it rained this weekend, the last weekend of March, so we'll see. They actually had to stop the Dodger game the other day because there was a rain delay. Who would have thought? That doesn't happen very often. I don't know how many times it's happened in the history of anything, but it hasn't happened a lot. But anyway, hopefully you guys liked the podcast last week. We're on video now. This is my temporary setup. Once we get into the new office, I'll have all my decorations up again, and you guys will be like, oh wow, that's cool. But right now, just got the green screen, NBD. It's April, man. So that means we've already gone through the first quarter of the year. I know. First quarter, fucking done. And if I'm being honest, dude, I had a really busy first quarter. I got sick, as you guys may or may not know. I got really sick, and I don't know what I had, but I still have the remnants of whatever I had. I had fever, you know, chills. I had something in my chest. I don't know if I talked about this last week, but when I was in Florida, the last night I was there, I thought someone had slipped my drink, dude. Like, that's how fucking, like, I was having, like, not chest pains, but, like, trouble breathing. And I'm like, am I just really high? Or what? And I just wanted it. I wanted the night to be over, dude. Like, and I was in this shitty hotel. You know, it wasn't a shitty hotel. It was just an old hotel, but kind of also like a sad and depressing hotel. I've talked about this before, but you know, I go places. Sometimes I book my hotel depending on where I'm going. Sometimes, you know, the club puts me up somewhere. You know, sometimes I get to stay in really nice hotels when the club puts me up. Sometimes, you know, places that I'm like, well, I'm not bringing a girl back to this place. And that was definitely one of them where I was. Plus, it was haunted. But sometimes I stay in hotels that are just so depressing that when I'm there, it's just like, yeah, this is why guys kill themselves on the road. Like, that's how I felt when I was at that hotel in Florida. I'm not going to name the name of the hotel because I guess people like it. Like, it was apparently, I mean, it was St. Patrick's Day weekend when I was there. And I guess that's like a big thing there. They had this big parade and the street fair and all this stuff. Like, I don't know, but I left a day early. So that tells you all you need to know about where I was in Florida, and I left a day early. So do with that what you may, with that information what you may. It's April. I have a marathon at the end of this month. It's been hard over the last couple weeks because I still haven't been 100%. Like I said, there's something in my chest, so it's, my runs haven't been great. You know, like I struggled through 16 miles this weekend. You know, I don't know how well I'm going to do in this marathon. Every time I run a marathon, I hope that I can get a personal best. I haven't gotten one since I ran the LA Marathon last year. That was my best time. So, I mean, I guess that's appropriate since that's my favorite marathon. But this marathon that I'm running at the end of this month, it's supposedly a very fast course. So I'm hoping that that means something. I don't know. Like I said, the last couple of weeks, I haven't felt great. Like my last run that I felt great, to be honest, was when I ran 10 miles in Florida a couple weeks ago, and then I got sick. So, you know, that was the last time I felt really good. And part of it, I think, was just because it was the first time, you know, from January, I was in Wisconsin where it was below zero. I was in, where did I go after that? Ohio, where it was like in the teens when I was there. After that, I went to Vancouver. And Vancouver was fucking, what was it, like single digits, I think, or maybe in the 20s. I don't remember. It was very cold. I was very bundled up. And then after that, I went to Maine. That was single digit, and that was like in the teens. Then after that, I went to Montana, and that was fucking below zero at night. And then after Montana, where did I go? New Mexico, same thing. It was freezing. You know, I went to all these places that were just fucking cold, and it kept getting colder. And then finally, you know, a couple weeks ago, I ended up in Florida, and it was like, oh, great. Like, even like I was in Reno a few weeks ago, that was like, you know, 20 or something. Like, it was snow everywhere. It just snowed. So Florida was like the first, and even like, you know, I'm not really home as much, so I don't get to run in LA or anywhere during the week, you know. So Florida was like the first run that I did that was like at a normal temperature. And I think that's why I felt so good, because it was like, it was a little humid, but it wasn't like awful. You know, it's March, so it's not horrible. It's like, you know, it was like, I want to say like 70-ish, somewhere around there. It wasn't too hot. It was like perfect. And I felt great. Like, I was like, wow, this is the first time I've ran in like decent weather in like a long time. So that was great. But that was the last time I felt good on a run. So hopefully I've got less than 4 weeks to go to this next one. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, like I said, that I do well. If not, it's whatever, man. I posted, I don't know if you guys follow me on social. Hopefully you do. See, told you, still not feeling well. I posted a clip. I don't know when you're going to hear this or watch this, but I posted a clip on Monday, I guess that would be, of this week. Yeah, April Fool's Day. And, you know, when you post clips on, you know, like whether it be Instagram or TikTok or Facebook or what, you know, any of those apps, on Instagram and TikTok, I'm just going to peel back the curtain a little bit, but on Instagram and TikTok, you have to keep it 90 seconds or less, which is great. I mean, that's enough. You know, we live in a society now where people's attention span is so short that, you know, you have to kind of keep it short. And then on YouTube is trying to compete with TikTok. So they have something called Shorts. And in the Shorts, those have to be less than 60 seconds. And that's how Reels used to be on Instagram. And they changed it to 90 seconds. And then if you're famous, you could post longer. I don't know. It's really weird. I'm not famous enough. I need more followers, I guess. Follow me on social, on Instagram, at Peter Sears, if you're not following me already. But that's S-E-R-S, by the way. And my point is, you know, you got to just like, you know, you put a description on it, and honestly, a lot of times people don't even read the description, the caption, whatever, and you try to set up a context. Sometimes, like, the bit that you post, the context kind of takes care of itself, because it's very clear. But sometimes, you know, maybe there's been crowd work that's happened before, or just things that have happened, and you're only playing a microcosm of, you know, what the people are watching. And so in this clip, you know, I'm doing this bit about, and I don't really do it because I like it. It's really entertaining, but it just doesn't really fit anywhere in my act, which is why I did the specific show that I filmed, because there were bits that I wanted to do that I don't really get to do, but I wanted to post them. So you'll see the bits over the course of time, if you follow me on social. But so in this bit, and I talked about this on here, I think, but like, I hate, and this is one of the reasons why I started this podcast. As you guys know, you know, I work out a lot. I'm very health conscious. I eat well. Like, I am 44. I'm almost 45. Gosh, that's so fucking weird when I say that. It's really weird for me to say that because I don't know what I thought 45 would feel like, but I definitely don't feel that way. Like, other than, like, and part of it is because I've been sick, you know, but, like, I've been sleeping a lot more lately, or just been, like, my energy has been down, but it's because I've been sick, obviously. Like, I haven't been working out super early lately. Like, I've been working out a little bit later in the afternoon. I worked out, like, at noon today. Like, anyway, whatever. But, like, you know, part of the reason I started this podcast is you always, you know, you follow any comedian's podcast, and when they're talking to each other, they're talking about, you know, doing blow and, you know, eating like shit and sleeping till 2. And I've been on the road with guys that, you know, I've woken up, gone to the gym, eaten breakfast, wake up, eat breakfast, go to the gym, eat lunch, come back, and these motherfuckers are still asleep. And I'm like, yo, dude, like, what are you doing? You know, like, I couldn't sleep until 12 or 1 or 2. I could stay up all night, probably fucking, let's be honest, go to bed at like, and I've done that before, by the way, go to bed like at 4, 4:35, and I'd still end up waking up 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. I'd be tired that day, but like, if, you know, I was fucking, it's like, all right, well, you deal with it, and then you just go to sleep at a normal time the next day, and kind of catches up, right? Like, you're caught up. I couldn't sleep until 1 or 2, even if I tried. I would probably just stay up on, like, I mean, there's been times, you know, I never know why. I've noticed, and, you know, I'm thankful for it, because I'm living the life that I'm not completely living the life that I want to live, but I'm getting closer and closer. But, you know, my point is, like, you know, I've traveled to the East Coast, you know, 3 times in the last few weeks. And, you know, it's one thing to go to, like, you know, Central Time Zone, Mountain Time Zone, you know, you lose an hour, gain an hour, whatever, couple hours. But when you go to the East Coast, you know, 3 hours ahead, and you come back and you lose 3 hours, but the sleep is, like, it's tough, dude. And then traveling sucks. And, like, for whatever reason, you know, I don't think I've had a direct flight to the East Coast in any of the flights or on the way back. So it's like you're in the airport for, you know, an hour or two. And I've been fucking having Southwest flights get delayed, and I'm at the airport more. And it's just like, travel does take a lot out of you, which is why I'm glad that I take care of myself. But I still feel like, not necessarily jet lag. I know people are like, oh, I'm so jet lag. It's not even that. Like, I'm literally just, my body is, my immune system is down. Like, I'm not as strong. That's why, you know, it's important to me to eat well. It's important to me to work out when I go on the road. You know, I've been drinking a lot of electrolytes. I've really gotten into electrolytes, especially since I started running, and I figured out the hydration system for me. Running marathons requires more electrolytes. And on, you know, I've been reading a lot of Andrew Huberman, who's, you know, big health podcaster, a lot more popular than my health podcasting. But he talks about, like, the importance of electrolytes and stuff like that. And there's the other guy, the doctor, I don't know, James Neapolitano or whatever. He tweets a bunch of stuff, and you're like, oh, yeah, okay. So anyway, electrolytes, very important. And I've been trying to, but, like, just, there is a lot of wear and tear on the body when you travel like that, you know, and that's why, you know, I talk about all the time. I've talked about multiple times, but, like, between wrestlers and, like, baseball players, like, the guys that are on the way up, right, grinding it out, you know, the lifestyle that we all, from comedians to wrestlers to baseball players, it's very similar. Even, like, you could even take it a step further and say, like, musicians, you know, that are traveling and performing, like, it's a tough grind, man. And I understand, like I said, why guys kill themselves, but I also understand, you know, why people get, you know, start doing blow or start doing, you know, Prozac, or even, like, why they start doing uppers and they take Adderall or Ritalin. Like, it's, you know, and I'm guilty of it too, because I drink a lot of caffeine, but I think of all the evils, I think caffeine is not the worst. And obviously I do marijuana at night because I can't sleep. Maybe because I drink a lot of caffeine, but I don't know. but anyway, it's great that I've been able to travel, like, you know, and I'll keep going to the East Coast as long as they keep booking me. I know I'm going. I just booked a gig in Nova Scotia, which is East Coast, but like also like far, but I'll probably stop somewhere in between and do some shows. And anyway, but I'm very excited because I heard Halifax, Nova Scotia is very exciting. And I'm also going to go back to Florida later in the year. I'm going to be in Vero Beach. I would like to get booked there during baseball season. So maybe I can check out a minor league game and go to where the Dodgers used to play, Dodger Town. But even if I don't get booked during baseball season, I'll still go to Dodger Town because that's historic. I don't know if you guys know this, and we'll get into some Dodger talk in a second, but the Dodgers, spring training as we know it, was started by the Dodgers. I know, like Walter O'Malley. So I've probably talked about this on my old Dodger podcast. So if you're coming here from there, you probably heard the story, but some people have not. But spring training, you know, as you guys know, half the teams train in Florida, the other half of teams train in Arizona. And the reason being is both of those places are warm climates in February, March. So, you know, you can get your workouts in. And that's why they do it, right? And that's, they also, all the teams train in Arizona and Florida. And then they all play each other because, you know, you can drive to the fields. You know, if you're in Arizona, you can go from Glendale to Goodyear to fucking Peoria. Like, it's, you know, it's an hour drive, 45 minutes. Florida, sometimes the drives are a little bit longer, but that's kind of the point, you know, and you get on your bus. But spring training, as we know it, was invented by Walter O'Malley because in the old days, you know, all these baseball players, especially before baseball moved, you know, far west like we know it is now, which was also pioneered by the Dodgers. The players used to, you know, if you played in Brooklyn, then there's a pretty good chance that in the off season you lived in Brooklyn and you worked at a furniture store or you sold cars or you helped out at the grocery store. Like, in the off, can you fucking imagine, dude? Like, I don't know if you guys know, but Mookie Betts last week worked like the drive-thru at Raising Cane's for like an hour. The one in Azusa, by the way, which I've been to many times on my way home at night on various nights, especially like on Fridays and Saturdays. Dude, can I tell you this? I don't know if I've talked about this on this podcast or not, but I love Raising Cane's. This is going to be a secret between me and you, but I love Raising Cane's. Now, I don't have it a lot, like, it used to be my, like, you know, as you guys know, I have been running marathons and I'm always seems to be training for a marathon and then something gets pushed back or whatever. But anyway, I do my long runs on Saturdays or Sundays and depending on where I am, for a while there, my night before my long run, pre-long run meal was Raising Cane's. I don't know how, actually I do know where it came about. It came about because when I was working at MedMen, I would get off, you know, 10 o'clock, 10:30 and come home and it'd be like, you know, 11:30, 12 sometimes. And oh, by the way, oh, I don't know if I could tell this fucking story. I'm going to tell this fucking story, dude. I don't fucking care. This is my podcast, okay? First of all, but anyway, Raising Cane's on Fridays and Saturdays stays open till like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock or whatever. And then one night, there was just, I was all that like sounded good. And as you guys may or may not know, damn it. There goes my backdrop. Sorry, guys. I'm going to put this back up really quick. Oh, man. Fucking green screen. If you're listening at home, my green screen fell, and I'm going to have to fix this. Otherwise, it's not going to look good. God damn it. This is real time here. We're going to edit the video part out of this. Maybe not. I don't know. What was I talking about? Raising Cane's. So sometimes, depending on what time I'm coming home, I want to get to sleep when I come home. And so I'll take an edible while I'm driving home at a certain time to time it, like, you know, all right, I'm going to be home in 30 minutes. I'll take my edible now. It won't kick in until, you know, 45 to an hour. Sometimes it takes longer, you know, so you, but that's kind of like the safe. I don't like driving stoned. I don't condone driving stoned. I know I posted a joke about driving stoned on accident a few days ago as well. It got like 30,000 views, which is crazy because it's like, it's funny, but it wasn't even like a joke. I mean, it's funny. It's a funny story, but it's not really like, I don't talk about it in my act, but there was a show that I did in Florida a few months ago. Shout out to Side Splitters in Tampa, or Wesley Chapel, which is basically Tampa, but not really, because anyway, it's like 30 minutes outside of Tampa, but anyway, I don't know how we got on it, but there's this, I didn't post the whole, again, it's out of context, you can only post, you know, 90 seconds of a clip, but I post this clip where this guy in the audience had just told a story about eating gummies. He didn't post it. He told me, I'm literally on stage performing. And he's like, oh, let me tell you about this time I took a gummy. And I'm like, okay. And he's like driving, and you know, his wife's like, well, what, did you take a gummy? And he's like, no. She's like, you did take a gummy. He's like, okay, I took one. Why do you ask? He's like, because you're only going 10 fucking miles an hour on the freeway or something like that. And I was just like, okay. The story was fine. You know what I mean? But like, I'm performing, not trying to listen to this fucking guy's story. So I'm like, you know what? That's a shitty story. I'm going to tell you an actual story that's way funnier. And so I tell the story about when I ran the LA Marathon last year and I had Raising Cane's that day, by the way. I took an edible, but like, I had the show. My show was like in Lancaster, I think. And a little bit, Lancaster. And it went a little bit later, and I was headlining, and Lancaster is a little bit further than I thought it was. I probably, looking back, shouldn't have taken the show, but it was an opportunity to headline, and I never turned down an opportunity to headline, you know? Long story short, I was going to get home a lot later than I would have liked, and I had a marathon the next day. So I took my edible way earlier than a half hour because I wanted to get home and literally go. I already have my stuff ready for the marathon. And the joke is much shorter than this, or the story that I tell on, if you haven't seen it already. But, and I get off the freeway, and right when I get off the freeway, I get pulled over, and I'm like, fuck, dude, like, I cannot get a DUI. Like, that will ruin my life, maybe? Like, possibly, do you know what I mean? And I'm like, I can't get a fucking DUI. I can't get a fucking DUI. And the officer pulls me over, and I'm not swerving or anything, at least I don't think so, you know, and he pulls me over, and, you know, for those of you guys that don't know, but I drive a Kia 2017, it's fine, like, it's a decent car, it gets great gas mileage, when it's clean, it's nice, it's a nice little, you know, economy car, like, you know, it's gotten me very far. Like, I really enjoy it. And I got it specifically because I knew I was going to be going on the road more. I needed a good economic vehicle with good gas mileage. And that's exactly what I've driven that car coast to coast, literally. He pulls me over, and I'm like, just trying to act normal. And luckily for me, it's one of those instances where I'm on the driver's side and he pulls over and he walks to the passenger side, so he can't see me. It's dark. It's like after midnight. And he's like, oh, you know, I pulled you over. And I'm like, honestly, I don't. I know I wasn't speeding. I just got off the freeway. Like, I'm almost home. He's like, I pulled you over because your back light is out or whatever. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, dude. Like, of course it is. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, sorry. He's like, where are you coming from? And I'm like, oh, I'm coming from work. And, you know, he's obviously probably like, where does this fucking guy work? He's coming home at 12 o'clock on a Saturday. You know, he's like, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a comedian. I was like, I'm going to be honest. I'm probably going to talk about this interaction on stage, you know, at some point. And he's like, okay, well, he's like, you can go ahead and go get that light fixed. And I was like, oh, thank God. Thank God he didn't like, I mean, I don't know. I don't, like, it, I was definitely feeling the effects of the edible, you know. I don't know if my eyes were squinted or whatever, but luckily he didn't look me in the eye, or I don't think my speech pattern. I've performed stone before. I don't think there's a difference, but I think that's what a person with like a problem would say. So I don't know, dude, but he let me go. Anyway, I posted the joke and whatever. So anyway, I don't even know why I told that story, to be honest with you. But anyway, let's get into some Dodger talk really quick. Like, as you may or may not know, used to have a Dodger podcast. I no longer have it. So now I'm just going to do brief Dodger updates every week here. Dodgers are fucking... Here's the thing about the Dodgers. They made a lot of moves this offseason, and it almost made me restart my Dodger podcast because I ended it last season for a number of reasons. But, you know, all the moves they made in the offseason with the signing of obviously the best, arguably best ball player of all time, if he continues on the trajectory, Shohei Ohtani. Not to mention that, but he's an international star. Ugh. Then they go out. Timeout. Sorry. Dog starts barking. I never know what the fuck's going on. Dog just barks for no reason sometimes. Anyway, the Dodgers go and sign huge player Shohei Ohtani. And they go out and get Yoshinobu Yamamoto, which is Japanese for Steve Smith. I don't know if you guys know this, but he signed a long fucking contract, and before he threw a pitch in the major leagues, and you know, it's, he was one of the best pitchers on the market. Every team wanted, every team that could afford him made an offer. Yankees, Red Sox, Giants, everybody. He chose the Dodgers. But like, you know, it's a lot of money to give somebody that's never thrown a single pitch in the major leagues, and a lot of years to give somebody. And as you know, contracts in the major leagues are guaranteed. But on top of that, though, you know, they still have, you know, two of the top five. I mean, now they have three of the top five players in the major leagues. Like, you know, you see the list of best players, Mookie, Freddie and Shohei are in the top five. And if there's another list, maybe Freddie comes out of the top five, but they definitely have three players in the top 10. And then if you look at those lists, Corey Seager and Yordan Alvarez are also on there. So that's five Dodgers or former Dodgers on that fucking list. And if Walker Buehler was healthy, he might be on that fucking list too. So anyway, but then they go out and like, they already have those guys. They already have Will Smith. They already have Max Muncy, fucking all-star. Chris Taylor, who didn't really play great last year, but also an all-star. Super utility guy, Kike Hernandez. Shout out to Kike, even though he fucking had me blocked on Twitter. My old Twitter. I'm not blocked on my new Twitter, so maybe Kike and I will be friends. But then they go out and get a guy like Teoscar Hernandez, who is a fucking stud, but just kind of under the radar. And this motherfucker's tied for the major league league in home runs. They go out and trade for Tyler Glasnow, who's fucking lights out, dude. Like, they still have Bobby Miller, who is a potential Cy Young candidate, and he fucking shoved the other day, 11 Ks, 6 innings, dude. Like, I'm talking like he threw a changeup that broke 2 feet. And the fucking guy swung at it and just looked like a little leaguer that had never seen a changeup before. And then he throws hard and he's painting the corners. And he's not only able to overpower people and rear back when he needs to, but he's also learned how to pitch and how to finesse a little bit. You know, you see him with his breaking stuff, and it's just like, holy fuck, dude. The Dodgers pitching staff, like, the started pitchers have an ERA under two. So it's only, I mean, it's only a week into the season, you know, seven games. Dodgers are 5-2, you know, not a big deal. And to be honest, they're not even playing at all. You know, they're kind of had some sloppy defense. They've left a few too many runners on base. They've, you know, just they've been playing well enough. They're talented enough to be able to still win games when they're not playing their best, and they're deep enough that, you know, Shohei hasn't really had a home run in seven games, which I don't know if that's the longest streak he's ever had. I don't have someone to look that up for me, but it's not nothing, you know, but they're still winning. And they're playing the Giants this week, and I fucking hate the Giants, and, you know, but it's really exciting to watch. And to think that they still have guys like Walker Buehler coming back. They still have Clayton Kershaw, literally the best pitcher I've ever seen ever, coming back. They've got Dustin May coming back. Like, they've got Blake Treinen coming. Like, it's like they're just going to keep fucking throwing dudes out there. And then next year they have Gonsolin coming back. They've got Shohei going to pitch next year. I mean, like, for all intents and purposes, this is Clayton Kershaw's last year. As sad as that, unless he's going to come back and be a fucking swing guy, be a left-handed guy out of the bullpen, be a closer for like a year or two, like John Smoltz did at the end of his career. I don't know. But you look at that Dodgers rotation, and, you know, you got, like I said, you got Glasnow, who's going to be here for quite a few years. You've got Otani, who's going to be there. You got Yamamoto. That's top three. Bobby Miller's right in there. So that's four fucking studs. And, oh, yeah, Gavin Stone is fucking dealing the other night. Like, I mean, an embarrassment of riches. And as we all know, if you follow baseball, sorry if you don't, but you can never have too much pitching. The Dodgers last year got killed in the postseason because they just ran out of arms. You know, they were overly relying on Kershaw because everybody went down. And so now they're like, all right, well, we're just going to fucking stockpile. We got May coming back. Oh, yeah, we have Yarbrough, who we traded for last year, who's a fucking stud. We picked up John Paxton, who had a great fucking outing the other night. Like, just one guy after another. Like I said, and fucking Gavin Stone, who people don't even think about. They traded away Pepio, who was one of the best pitchers in the organization. You know, prospects at least. And then they got that guy hurt. I forget what his first name is. Like, he supposedly has the best stuff out of anybody. You're just like, you know, a lot of fuss has been made about the fact that the Dodgers don't have a ton of left-handed relievers. But when you got a bunch of guys coming out of the bullpen throwing fucking 98 to 100, you know, who cares? Who fucking cares, dude? They still got Gratterall that's coming back. Like, oh, man, like, this season, you know, I've talked about it before on this podcast, and, you know, I've been contemplating seriously. I was all set to move to Austin, and then I didn't. And, you know, I say everything happens for a reason. I got to be here and go to the private Justin Timberlake show and see the NSYNC reunion when it happened, and just, you know, all those things kind of lined up perfectly. And I think that there's a reason why, even though I was convinced in June that I was moving to Austin, and then things just kept getting pushed back. But lo and behold, I'm here. I got to go to opening day. You know, what day is it? I guess that was last week. And I got to see that. You know, my buddy's getting married this week. Shout out to my buddy Juan. I hate weddings, by the way. So, you know that you're a very important person to me if I'm taking time out of my schedule to go to your wedding. I have a joke about it. In my special, I know we did last quarantine. So if you want to know how I feel about weddings, go back and watch my special if you haven't watched it already. sorry, guys. I can't shake that. Anyway. And then we pick up, we go back on tour. You know, I'll be in Phoenix next week at JP's Comedy Club headlining. I love to say that when I get to say I'm headlining this place, wherever it is. Like, I just love saying that because that's been the goal, and I'm headlining more and more. And I tweeted this, and I still say tweet. I don't say X because it's stupid. You know, I've been getting like all these headline gigs, and I don't, you know, like I've been on TV. I've been on stuff that like I can use like in my letter when I'm writing to these comedy clubs and saying, hey, book me. I've been on this, you know, but like nobody knows me. Do you know what I mean? So like the fact that I'm able to book these headline gigs at like comedy clubs and get paid what I'm getting paid, you know, on some of these gigs with no major credits, I don't have a ton of followers, and I don't have a manager or an agent. Like, I'm pretty proud of myself, if I'm being honest. Like, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work that people don't notice because they don't see the countless emails that I send, and sometimes I get rejected, and I haven't been getting rejected as much, but I get a lot of emails that get ignored, you know, and, you know, and some of them are places that I've been to before that, you know, I've talked about it on here before, but like, you know, finish the weekend, the guy gives me my check, you know, good job, blah, 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 you know, email me in 6 months, and then I email them, and then I never fucking hear back from them. Like, I've had several people look me in the eye, tell me they're going to bring me back, and then not return my fucking emails. I know I shouldn't take things like that personally, but as just a human being and a man, like, if I tell you as a man that I'm going to do this for you, and then I just ignore, like, I don't know, dude, there's something to that that doesn't sit well with me. So I remember these things, and I take notes, and, you know, I've talked about it a million times on here. I plan on being much bigger than I am, and when I get to a place where I have more leverage, there's going to be places that kind of shoo me aside right now and dick me around, and I just emailed one of the clubs yesterday, and they emailed me back, like, and they're trying to, they email me back, so I'll give them credit on that, but they're trying to, they don't want to pay me. There's actually been a couple places that don't want to pay me what they've paid me before, or, you know, they're paying me less than I know they're paying somebody else that's been there. And that's fine, but, like, these are all notes that I make, and then when I have the leverage, I'm going to be like, oh, hey, remember this? Fuck you. But I need that leverage. I don't have it yet, so anyway. Keep sharing my content, you guys. That means clips, podcasts, tweets, retweet, all that stuff. Everything you share helps my content get in front of people that may not see it. I think they say, depending on how many, no matter how many followers you have, you get about 10% reach. So think about that. So, and I don't think it's even that much, because I can tell you this, like, especially like on Instagram and Facebook, if you post like a flyer with like, or anything like with graphics, the algorithm, did I say that right? Algorithm recognizes it as you're promoting an event, a thing, and they will bury it in the algorithm. So they say 10% of the people see it. So like in my instance, you know, I think on Instagram I have like 3,700 followers or something like that. That means every time I post something, maybe 10% of the people see it. And of those people, you know, if it's a promotion for something, maybe 2% of the people see it. And so it's like, that's why I got to keep posting it, keep posting it. I know people see me posting about shows and they're like, oh, we get it. You have a show and this. It's like, yeah, dude, but you don't understand. There's a lot of people that aren't seeing these posts. You will not believe how many fucking people, after I've been, it just fucking happened. I posted that I'm going to be in Florida, and somebody that I went to high school with was like, oh, when are you going to come to Florida? I was like, well, I was just fucking there like a week ago. Oh, I didn't know. I'm like, I fucking posted it like 10 times, dude. Like, and sometimes I think people are full of shit that they don't see it, but sometimes I just think it's the algorithm hiding it. And that's why I say, like, I ask, if you're listening, you obviously care enough about what I'm doing. You see me post something, just fucking share it, dude. One day I won't need you guys to share the shit, okay? Like, I'm telling you, like, I posted a clip the other day and it got like 30,000 views. Not one share. which doesn't make any sense. And then yesterday I posted a clip and it's gotten like 3,500 views so far, which is a lot better than a lot of my clips do for some reason. But that one has like 15 shares. So it's like, okay, so I got 30,000 views on a clip with zero shares. That means none of my friends or family shared the clip. That hurts my feelings a little bit, I'll be honest. But then I have another one where like 15 people, and the thing that I appreciate when people share my content, whether, like I said, whether it's podcasts, whether it's clips, whatever, I want you to share my clips, because if I post it, I know it's funny, and it's funny for different reasons. But when people share stuff and I see that they shared it, I thank them, because that means a lot to me, because you're helping me. It doesn't cost you anything, but you're helping me. And I'll thank them. But like sometimes people share my stuff and then I don't know they shared it, and I don't get an opportunity to thank them. So if you've shared a clip or two or three or 10 of mine, thank you. I appreciate it. Keep doing it and tell your friends to do it. That's how things go viral. I don't know why I got into... Oh, anyway, I'm talking about like posting about shows and stuff. So anyway, I'm excited to be... I'm going to be at JP's Comedy Club next weekend. I'm also going to be in Kingman at the Sundowner... I think it's called the Sundowner Saloon. That's on Thursday the 11th. And then Friday the 12th, I'm at JP's Comedy Club. And then Saturday the 13th, I'm at JP's Comedy Club. And then the following weekend, I'm going to be I'm featuring for Chris Frangiola, who I've worked with before, but I'm not opening. I'm opening for him, but I got booked through the club. Like, he didn't ask me to open for him, so whatever. Anyway, but that'll be fun because I'll be at Hyenas in Dallas. And then I come home and I have a show at the Ontario Improv Wednesday, April 24th. People are buying tickets, so that's good. If you see me post, please share so that people can see. I know there's going to be people and this is going to be my last show in Ontario. I do not know when I'm coming back. So I might be moving to Austin. Timeline is still a little fuzzy because I have a bunch of shows here on the West Coast. I don't think it makes sense for me to go to Austin, but then have to come back to Arizona and then go to Austin and then come back to San Diego. And then I have to go to Boise and I have to go to Vegas. And it's like, so I have all these like things on the West Coast. This is where I'm going to be over the next few weeks and months. So next week you got me in Phoenix. The following week I'm in Dallas. Then I'm in Ontario. And then a week later I'm in Tucson. Week later I'm in San Diego. Week later I'm in Boise. Week later I'm in Vegas. Week later, I think I'm going to Austin that week, the first week of June. That's the plan, to just go there for a few days and maybe look at... I know if I move to Austin, I kind of have my place picked out, but there's a few other places that keep popping up now because I've looked up and you know how the algorithms are on Facebook. And I'm like, maybe I should go check this out. So I'll probably go look at a few places, do some shows. Then I come back and I go to Vegas again. And then I kind of don't have to go. I don't have any gigs in the West Coast. But then in July, I got to go to Oregon. I got to go to Washington. I got shows in Portland, Seattle, Medford, Richland. So I'll be in the Pacific Northwest, but I might be in Austin by then. But I don't know. But I do know that no matter what, this will be my last show in Ontario for a while. Because you know what it is, you guys? I'll be honest. I grew up in Ontario. And a large part of who I am is based on where I grew up. You know, like, growing up around the people that I grew up around, growing up in the neighborhood that I grew up in, you know, seeing some of the things that I did growing up. Like, you know, I tell the story. Actually, I don't know if I've told it on this podcast. My best friend, Eric Dunn, we were, I want to say, in seventh grade. It could have been eighth grade, but I'm pretty sure it was seventh grade. I really don't remember, to be honest. Eric Dunn can correct me with this, but we're walking home. So Eric Dunn, I lived on Calavera Street, which is a big gang, and he lived basically, like, the street that I lived on, you went down, and it wasn't a dead end, but like it was like a cul-de-sac kind of, but it turned into another street. So as the street turns, you go like maybe a block, and then Eric lived like right on the corner right there. Basically Del Norte and El Morado, is that the name of the street? Eric can correct me on this. But anyway, we lived a 3-minute walk, maybe a little bit longer than that. But so we would walk home together from junior high, and we're walking home one day, and you hear that these guys like from the high school, like gang members, Southsiders, are going to come and like beat up some of the Northsiders. But we didn't really have Northsiders at my school. Like, I lived in Northside, but like I never gangbanged because why would I do that? But there was a couple guys that were like Northside adjacent. And so we're walking home, and all of a sudden we see this fucking car full of cholos pull up, and we're like, oh fuck. And they start jumping this fucking kid that we like kind of knew. He wasn't like a friend, so do not get it twisted. He was walking, you know, he was, you know, 100 feet in front of us or something. But we saw these guys jump this kid, and we weren't going to stick around to see if they were going to jump. We fucking took off into the alley, ran. I think we ran back to the school, now that I think about it. Called my mom and be like, hey, mom, dude, so I can come pick me up, blah, 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 you know. I think that's what happened. But also, like, I grew up in an era where people would get jacked for, like, their British Knights. Remember BK1 or BK, is it called BK1? British Knights. People get jacked for their Jordans. People would get jacked, like, I grew up in the era, you know, where you would wear, like, a parka. Like, you know, would have, like, a cool, like, you know, Chicago Bulls parka or Raider. We couldn't wear Raiders at school because that was gang related, but I had a Dodger one, and in my mind, and I had it on that day, and I'm like, I'm not getting fucking jacked for my Dodger parka, dude. You can go fuck yourself. So we just took off and ran, and we were scared. Like, we had never really, like, I'd seen stuff like that before, but not like right up close, like, and there's nobody around, and like, you know what I mean? So anyway, that's how I grew up, dude. So my point is like, you know, I've always had like a little bit of an edge and a little chip on my shoulder. And when I'm on stage, like, I think a lot of that comes out. You know, I make it funny, obviously, but like also like it's just important and how I grew up. Like, we had riots at our high school. And so it's like, you know, so being from there, like, I always have a sense of pride of where I came from. And which is also why when I'm on stage, you know, I always make it a point to, you know, tell the story about, you know, how I grew up and where, how my dad, you know, used to abuse me, you know, and make fun of me, and also, but how he got addicted to drugs. And, you know, cause I feel like there are other people that share similar stories, and seeing how I'm using that, you know, to do well and make light of it, obviously. But like, you know, like I'm doing something with it. So many people use, you know, the kind of circumstances that we grew up in, and they use it and as an excuse as to why, you know, they're addicted to drugs or they're fat, or, I mean, there's a million different things that they blame on that. And it's just like, I'm a fighter, dude. And like, it's a big part of where I'm from. So I love performing there. But also, like, I just know so many people, like so many people that know me personally in that area and know where I came from as well. And they came from the same place, and they see me, you know, going to Maine and going to Florida and fucking hanging out with famous people. And it's just like, you know, not that I have this glamorous life, but like, it's different than a lot of their lives, you know? And so I love performing there, because it's like, this is where I'm from, and I want you guys to be proud of me, because I do represent, you know, like, and if I make it, it's, I mean, there's gonna be some people that I don't fucking talk to anymore because, you know, they don't support me or whatever. But like, there's gonna be a lot of people that like, that are ride or die, that like, I want to, you know, share whatever I end up having with, like, a, you know, having like an entourage or just like representing, you know what I mean? Like, I want to be like Anthony Munoz, who was like, you know, Hall of Fame football player that went to our high school, and like, everyone was like always so proud that like, they were his cousin, or they knew someone that was his cousin, and he was like, you know, he's a local hero, and I want to be that for my community, you know? So whenever I perform at the Ontario Improv Prophet, it's always like, it always means a lot to me too, because, you know, I know there's people there that knew my mom and my dad. And then also that was the first comedy club that I ever went to. And I remember being at that comedy show. I'll never forget this. I'll tell you who was on that comedy show. The openers, I'm forgetting one of the openers, but I know for sure Kid from Kid and Play, Chris Reed, was one of the openers. Ken Jeong, who went by Dr. Ken back then, was one of the openers. And the headliner was Jeff Garcia. And I had never been to a comedy club. You know, I grew up watching Def Comedy Jam and whatever, but like, I never actually been to a comedy club. And so to see it like in it, and Jeff Garcia is a crowd work comic, you know, what I know, whatever, he's a crowd work comic. So like, it's off the cuff, allegedly, whatever. But it was great, dude. Like, I was just like, this is so fucking fun. Like, and I always, in the back of my mind, would have loved to like do it, but was so scared and just not even knowing where to start, but afraid of getting up there and eating dicks, and, you know, which I've done plenty of times. But to think that, like, I went from that, and now, you know, in a few weeks, like, my name will be on the marquee and everybody's buying a ticket to see me, like, that means a lot to me. And I'll never take that for granted, because honestly, like, it's, they don't give shows to just everyone at the improvs anymore. After COVID, it's a lot harder to get your own night there, you know. So hopefully, if you're in the Inland Empire near Ontario, you can make it on April 24th. Lastly, I guess we can get into some Diddy stuff. Holy fuck. Cat Williams went on that rant a few weeks ago on Shannon Sharpe's podcast and was talking about people that are going to get brought down. And he mentioned Diddy, and Diddy fucking, the Homeland Security raids his house, and he's wanted for sex trafficking, and maybe there might be some underage girls, or he's wanted for soliciting narcotics and gang rape. And you're just like, what, dude? And Cuba Gooding Jr. is involved, and this guy who goes by Lil Rod is accusing Cuba Gooding Jr. of groping him, which I just think is ironic, because he goes by Lil Rod. So like, was Cuba Gooding Jr. like trying to grope your rod? I don't know, dude. But it's just, it's all fucking bizarre, because Cat called it, and now Diddy's out there, and, you know, he still may or may not have had something to do with Tupac's murder. And you're just like, dude, this is so wild that, you know, all these conspiracy people are talking about this ring of pedophiles, and then now Diddy's getting raided, and you're just like, who else? Like, was he affiliated with Epstein? Like, I don't fucking know, dude. Epstein didn't kill himself, by the way. I'm sure Diddy won't kill himself either, but holy shit, dude. But being that it's WrestleMania season, and it's if you don't care about wrestling, you might as well just turn the podcast off now, because I think that's where we're going the rest of the the rest of the podcast here. WrestleMania is this weekend, and I've talked about it before, but I'm so excited. I'm gonna miss the live feed of night one, because I'm going to my buddy Juan's wedding. And so it's going to be really hard for, I'm going to have to delete social media. So Juan, I'm sorry if you're listening, but I'm not going to be able to post anything about your wedding until the next day. Because if I go on social media, you know, the second the match is over, they fucking post the results, and I don't want to see that shit. So I'm going to delete my Instagram, my fucking Twitter, my Facebook while I'm at the wedding. And then when I come home from the wedding, I'll watch night one. And then Sunday's night two. So I'll be watching that, hoping that my boy Cody fucking takes home the gold. I hope he does, dude. Like, he's such a good guy. Like, The Rock is back and just hilarious when he's doing his fucking promos on the mic, dude. But I really want Cody to win, just because he's a good fucking, I told the story, but he's just a good dude. But so, WrestleMania predictions, night one. You've got a match between Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee, who's like the next Rey Mysterio, fighting Santos Escobar and Dom Mysterio, Rey's son, who they fought last year, Rey and Dom. Something tells me, so Dom, if you guys don't watch wrestling, And you're still listening. Congratulations. But Rey Mysterio is one of the best wrestlers of all time. Definitely one of the best luchadors of all time, if not the best, representing 619 from San Diego. His son Dom is, you know, like 24, you know, kind of came up with his dad. You know, a little bit of a Nepo baby, but like has gotten really good. And the storyline where, you know, he disowned his dad last year and it was like a whole thing, but it really made him what's called a heel, like where everybody hates him. And that's what you want, though. Like, you're either a really good guy like a Cody Rhodes or everyone loves, or you're a hated heel like Roman, the champion, or like Dom. Or you're just kind of somewhere lost in the shuffle, and maybe people care about you, maybe they don't. So you, as a wrestler, like, if people hate you that much, you're making money. And so there's this rivalry, but Dom is part of this faction called the Judgment Day, and there's a little bit of, you know, infighting going on, and now Dom is partnering up with this other guy who's in another faction. So what I foresee happening, it might not happen this weekend on WrestleMania, but I think that Dom's faction is going to turn on him because he's now linking up with some other people. And then maybe he reunites with his dad because his dad is, you know, this might be his last WrestleMania. Who knows? Maybe they do one more together. I don't know. But I got to think that at some point he turns his faction turns on him, and then everyone goes from hating him to loving him. So I can see an instance where him and Santos lose and then his faction turns on him. I don't know, but that's what I honestly, this will just be a fun match because there's going to be some cool spots in the match. My theory is that Rey and Dragon win somehow. Next match is Blacks versus Asians, apparently, where you have former champion Bianca Belair, you have Naomi, and then you have Jade Cargill, who is arguably one of the hottest female superstars as far as like her body in the history. There's never been a female wrestler that looked as amazing as Jade Cargill. Her body is, she's in amazing shape, dude. She has muscles on, but it's like, she's still feminine. She looks amazing, dude. She's hot as fuck. Like, give me a girl like Jade Cargill and I marry her tomorrow for sure. And they're fighting Damage Control, and it's a black faction versus like an all Asian and an English chick. It's very weird that they're doing it like that, 'cause that's kind of like old throwback wrestling. But I think somehow, Damage Control comes out on top somehow. But they're going to have to showcase Jade because she's like the next big superstar. So, you have a DIY, you have a big tag team with ladders and stuff. I think what's going to happen is they split the tag team belts because there's two sets of tag team belts. I think that Awesome Truth somehow gets one of the golds and then Judgment Day keeps the other half and they split the belts. That's what I think happens. You have Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso, the bloodline splitting up, twin brothers fighting each other. I think Jey loses that because his brother cheats somehow, because they always cheat somehow. No big deal there. Gunter versus Sammy. Gunter's been the longest reigning international or intercontinental championship in the history of the WWE. And Sami Zayn was in a main event last year and he won the tag team titles. He co-headlined night one WrestleMania. And I know they're trying to paint it that Sammy will win. I don't think he wins. What I think happens, here's my hot take. I think they have an amazing match. And then after Gunter wins, I think Damian Priest of the Judgment Day comes, cashes in his money in the bank, and then he becomes the new IC title. So if you don't watch wrestling, they have this thing called Money in the Bank where they have this briefcase hanging on top of a ladder. There's like five people in the match. They're all fighting each other and everyone's trying to get to the top of the ladder. If you can get to the top of the ladder and take the briefcase down, you win Money in the Bank. And then for the rest of the calendar year, you get an automatic title shot whenever you want. So people sometimes will come in after a match has happened and they cash it in and this person's tired. And a lot of times they win because if a person has just fought for 20 minutes or 30 minutes, they're tired. And now this fresh person comes, cashes it, and you know, they win the match. So that's what I think is going to happen. And that's how they take the belt off of Gunter, because he at some point, either very soon or a little bit later down the line, but he's going to be fighting for the world title that I hope Cody wins. But in the women's co-main event, you have Rhea Ripley, who's like the hottest female star in WWE right now, versus Becky Lynch, the man. I think Becky should win, because I think no one will be expecting that. And if you don't want to be predictable, you figure out a way for her to win. Maybe you get Liv Morgan to get involved, because Liv Morgan has payback on Rhea, cost her the belt, and then they can feud, and then whatever. The favorite is Rhea. She's already been the champion for a year, but if they want to, if they want to ruffle feathers, they could have Becky. They can have Becky win the belt, but we'll see. And then you have the big main event with Roman Reigns teaming up with The Rock to fight Cody Rhodes, my boy, and Seth Rollins. This is just night one of WrestleMania, by the way. And The Rock has made a stipulation that if the Bloodline wins, then in night two in the main event, it's Bloodline rules in the main event, which means anything goes, which means anybody can come in and help, and they can't, there's no disqualification, so they could literally do anything, which I think is what they're leading to, because what's going to happen, so I think the Bloodline wins somehow. I've heard rumors that, you know, they'll figure out a way for The Rock to pin Cody in the main event, in that main event, in the tag team, so that it's Bloodline rules the next night. And then I'll just go to the main event really quick. Like, actually, no. So we'll pause that and then we'll go. So night two, you have you have the Pride versus the Final Testament. You got a bunch of black dudes against a bunch of white dudes, which is very old school WWE. I'm going to be honest. I don't give a shit about that match. I don't care who wins. They should probably let the black dudes win just for, you know, solidarity. Then you have LA Knight, who was one of the hottest wrestlers a couple months ago, who's kind of cooled off, fighting AJ Styles, who used to be the champion, who also was a super hot wrestler and just fought for the title not too long ago. And they both have kind of cooled off. So I don't know what they can do with this match other than maybe give it like a double disqualification, so neither one of the guys looks bad. But LA Knight a couple months ago, like he fought for the title, and the fans are all like fucking behind him. And then WWE, you know, they can't take the title off of Roman yet, so they just let him not be the champion. And now he's kind of cooled off, and that sucks, because as a wrestler, like, you want to ride that wave, you know. So anyway, there's a big match for the U.S. title between Logan Paul, Randy Orton, who I love, and then Kevin Owens, a triple threat match, as they call it. Logan is, you know, an up and coming super. I mean, he's a national YouTube star, brings a lot of eyes to WWE, but also he's a great wrestler. Like, he's very athletic. I give him lots of props. I think that they put KO into this match so that he ends up taking the pinfall, so that Randy Orton, who's a legend, doesn't look bad and doesn't lose. The match will be great, and then somehow Logan probably cheats, and then KO loses, and that's how he retains the belt. I've heard rumors that Logan is going to fight Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam, which will be huge because that's his hometown, but that's another story altogether. Then you have the women's SmackDown title, Io Sky versus Bayley. They kind of wrote a story with it. You know, Bayley was the leader of Damage Control, then they all turned on her, and then this girl, so I don't know what it is. But then you have Seth and Drew. Seth is probably going to win. And then you have, or Drew is probably going to win somehow. Then you have Roman and Cody. Bloodline rules. A bunch of people are probably going to come and help Cody win. I've heard rumors of John Cena coming back, even Stone Cold coming back. So that's what I think is going to happen. If it does, great. If not, I don't know, but I'm very excited. It's WrestleMania season. I'm looking forward to it. So remember, I'm in Phoenix next week, JP's Comedy Club, and then the following week I'm going to be at Hyenas in Dallas. This has been The Camera Adds 10 Pounds. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye. Haha, sorry. I can't end it like that. Sorry, you guys, if you thought that it was over. It's not. No, the main event of WrestleMania, like, I'm so excited because, I mean, first of all, I wanted to go to Philly, and part of me still wants to, but I'm trying to save up money. It's just not financially responsible, and I have a big trip planned at the end of the summer that I'm trying to save up for as well. More on that later. But just, you know, for everything that Cody has done, you know, betting on himself by leaving WWE and then coming back, you know, doing the indies, doing fucking shows in front of, you know, 100 people, and, you know, his dad never getting to be the champion, and, you know, his dad was one of the best wrestlers of all time. He never got that belt, dude. And so it's such a, you know, a great story, and, you know, with The Rock coming back and getting involved, there's just so many different layers. And, you know, Cody was set to win last year, then the Bloodline cheated like they always do, and, you know, I was there for that one. And it's just, there's so many people. I mean, the Roman's got, I mean, he's, you know, arguably one of the best champions of all time. He's not my favorite, but I can't, you know, argue with the fact that, you know, he is largely responsible for just the storylines being so good to get everybody back involved in wrestling. You know, like I told you guys before, I stopped watching wrestling for a long time, and then during COVID kind of got back in it. And a lot of it was because of just this great storytelling. Like, I'm serious, dude. WWE better fucking win an Emmy for just the storyline that's been going on for the last, I mean, it's been going on for the last, like, three. He's been champion for over 3 years. He's not the longest reigning champion yet, but he's getting there, and I hope that they don't fucking keep the belt on him. And, you know, The Rock added a stipulation that if Cody loses, that he can't wrestle for the championship again because The Rock's on the board for TKO. This is this whole thing how they're, like, intertwining, you know, reality and not reality. You know, like, it's called kayfabe, which is, like, you know, the kayfabe is code for, like, you know, the act of what they're putting on, pretending like is happening. Like, if someone quote unquote breaks an arm, or, you know, if they're sleeping with somebody's wife, or, like, in the storyline, you know, like, that's kayfabe. And sometimes the guys stay in character outside of that. Sometimes they, you know, some, it's weird because there's some wrestlers that stay in character when they're doing their press conference, and then there's some that, you know, are themselves in the press conference. So when they are themselves, or they're on a podcast being themselves, they're breaking kayfabe, you know. And there's just so much, like, and this is the biggest WrestleMania of all time. You know, they sold out two shows at, you know, whatever the field is where the Eagles play. Like, just, you know, it's gonna be huge. Like I said, I would have loved to have gone, but I'll be there fucking watching it, and I'm just so excited. I hope Cody wins. I think all signs are pointing, like I said, to him winning, but, like, you know, the Bloodline trying to cheat because they, you know, they won the match in night one. And so they're going to do everything they can, you know, all the people are, and they might be, the thing about, you know, why it's called the Bloodline, for those of you guys that don't know, if you're still listening, you know, The Rock's dad was a wrestler, and his dad was a wrestler, and all these different uncles and cousins, like, it's really, like, it's a dynasty, you know, and they've been guys, you know, Yokozuna is, you know, his uncle, and there's his cousin, and they're all related in this weird, not weird, but, like, just this crazy family tree of professional wrestlers that have been around forever, you know. But also, you know, Cody Rhodes comes from a line of wrestlers. His dad, his brother, like, you know, there's not, and now they have, like, he's got, like, nephews that are wrestlers, and, you know, there's a lot of families that have been wrestling, you know, that, you know, it's, you know, it's kind of like with me in baseball. Like, you know, you watch baseball, and since I've been a baseball fan my whole life, you know, I'm watching guys who's, I grew up watching their dads play, and now, you know, you got guys like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and, you know, Bo Bichette, Dante Bichette's son, and, you know, I'm trying to think of, God, you know, I'm drawing a blank right now, but there's so many, like, players that are, you know, kids of people, you know, like, and you're just like, oh yeah, that was so-and-so's dad, that was so-and-so's dad, like, you know, Torrey Hunter's son got drafted, and, you know, it's this whole thing. So it's like same thing with wrestlers, there's guys that I grew up watching, and their sons are wrestling, and baseball players, it's the same thing, you know. So sorry for all the wrestling talk. I told you guys that's how this podcast, there's going to be a lot of different talk now about all sorts of different things, as well as fitness. Hopefully you guys are still taking care of yourselves. The gyms are not crowded anymore, but there's a bunch of fucking douchebags at the new gym that I went to. That's a whole thing altogether. We'll talk about that later. But now I am officially ending the podcast. Again, if you're listening to this on Apple, leave me a review, please. Rate it, subscribe. Same thing on Spotify. Subscribe. It helps me in the algorithm. Share it. Share my content. I appreciate you guys. Hopefully I see you guys if I'm coming to your city. And this has been the Camera Adds 10 Pounds, and I will see you guys next week. Thank you. Bye.